How many homes do I want to have? As with all things in life, watch it. We have tricky questions. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Yesterday was Good Friday. Today is Good Saturday. And tomorrow is Good Sunday. And every day is a good day. Now, how many homes do I want to have? That's sort of a leading question. And if you interpret it incorrectly, you will get on the wrong place. How many houses do I want to have? Or how many homes do I want to have? Ingeborg, where is your home?
Inside of myself.
Yeah, they say where I hang my hat. Inside myself. Sylvia, why do you say that your home is in yourself?
Because that's all there is.
That's all there is?
Yeah.
Well, you mean about a home. We're talking about a home. We're talking about a home. Your home is inside yourself, and that you only have one home, apparently. Yeah? Yeah?
Inside myself, I'm all.
Well, I guess that's all right, too. Esther, are you God?
Yes, I am.
Why? Why are you God?
Because it's my thinking, my doing.
Yeah. Ellen, why are you God?
Because that's all there is.
That's all there is. Not because of your thinking or your doing, or not because of your home, or not because of anything else. It's because of the doing. Now, Ellen, how many, why can you say you're God? Better.
I didn't understand.
Why can you say you're God?
Warum kannst du sagen, dass du Gott bist? Because that's all there is.
Ingeborg, why can you say that you live in your home?
Warum kannst du sagen, Ingeborg, dass du in deinem Heim
wohnst? Well, to live, I need a place.
Why can you say you live in your home? Because my body is my home.
It's my home is my temple.
And your home is your temple, but that's not what I asked you. I said your home is your body.
Yes.
Now, is that totally true?
Yes.
And why did Sylvia want to make it so broad? Sylvia, where is your home?
In my körper.
Oh, in her mind.
In her body.
Now, what?
She said in her body.
She said in her corpora? Oh, stupid. I point to my head. Is that your corpora? What is your head? What is your head? Come.
Huh?
What is your head?
My head. My mind.
Your mind. Okay. Now, and I said your home is?
In my mind.
In your mind. Not your body. Not anything else. Your home is in your mind. How many homes do you want? Bitte?
Ich habe nur eins. I only have one.
Oh, hell. Play the game. How many homes? My home is in my mind. Now, how many homes do you want? I want one home. My mind. That's right?
Yeah.
My mind. I don't want a bunch of homes. I don't want a home in your mind, and a home in the universal mind, and a home in the individual mind. I want a home in my mind, right? Like you said. Okay, now. How many homes do I want? Susan said, I want one home. The home in my mind.
I want one
home. The home in my mind. Now, is this force feeding you? Is this washing your brain? Your brain washing you? By having you say that? No. It's just a fact. Now, you have heard of these people who have many people living in them, you know? What's her name? Virginia. Virginia had a dozen people living in her mind, you know. One day she was one person, another day she was another person, you know? Another day she was another person. Now, what kind of person was that? Did she have one mind? Did she have her home in one mind? Yes, in each person that she thought she was. In each person that she thought she was living in that mind. Now, how many homes do we want? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and there's one just for you. Okay? How many homes do we want? Now, I'm intimidating you as much as I can. I'm being rascalious with you as much as I can to irritate you as much as I can. Now, where is the best home that you could ever have? Anybody want to tell me? In my divine mind. In my universal mind. In my totality of what I am. I tried to encourage you not to say that, because I wanted you to say it. And if I can irritate you and cause you to misthink, then what I am doing is I am causing you to realize how you are not definite in what your thinking is. Now, why can you say that you are God, is a phrase we use, and we say, because everything is God, and all is God, and everybody is God, and God is everywhere and in everything, and so therefore I am God. Now, the real answer for this is, why can you say you're God? Because I'm God. That's just the way it is. All right, Sylvia, answer this question quickly. Why can you say you're a woman?
I just am.
Because I am. Mm. Yeah, that's right, because I am. Now, does she have to say, well, I have the constitution of a woman, I have the body of a woman, I have the mind of a woman, and I have this? No, you don't. You am a woman. You just are a woman. Now, there are many women who wish they were men, and many men who wish they were women. And they want to live in a different body. And really, they don't have to. All they have to do is live in the consciousness of who they think they are. Now, Ellen, I think you'll probably fall flat on your face in this one here. How can you act like God?
Because we got
Ingeborg, how can you act like God? Ellen doesn't know the answer to that question. Ellen doesn't know the answer to that question. You know, you can still answer the question, even when you're translating to Esther there, the wonderful things we're saying here. How do you know that you're God?
Affirming it.
How do you act like it? What does God act like?
Acts like I act.
Very good. Very good. You can't knock that. Okay. How do you act? All-knowing?
The inspirations I have from within.
That's great. And?
Follows them.
Yeah, that's the acting like. You know that you are God because anything you are curious about, you know about instantly. Anything you want to do or have, you have instantly. Any thought you want to have, you have instantly. Any dream you want to have, you have instantly. Now, how do you know that you have them? All right, tell me. How do you know that you have a new car? Yeah?
Because I bought it.
How do you know?
I think it.
Yeah, that's good too. But how do you know you have a new car?
I drive it.
Yeah, that's good. Now, how do you know you have a new car? Yeah, how? No.
No, if I am God, I have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know you have a new car because you see it. You see it in your world. You see it in your life. You drive it. You live it. But basically, you see it. Now, Ingeborg was not driving the car that she says she drives it. She merely took a statement, I drive it, but she was not driving a car. What car were you driving, Ingeborg?
A Honda.
Well, maybe you're better than I thought you were. What color was it?
Green.
What year?
16.
Now you're in trouble.
The year I have is my age.
No. My God, they didn't make cars back in 2,000 years ago. They didn't make cars. Don't you remember? When you were a little kid, they didn't have cars, remember? Shush, shush. I'm saying you're 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
Now, yes, 21 years old, that's true. They had some very nice cars. Okay? But the thing is, why did she have trouble? Because she wasn't flowing with her inner awareness of what it was. Play the game. I tell you to play the game. And now, Ellen, what kind of car do you have?
Red.
Doesn't make what difference the model is, year, anything else, but it's red. It's just red, red. Well, could I ask you what model it is and year and so on?
It's a 2004.
Good.
Not the Expedition, the bigger one.
Excursion.
Excursion.
The excursion.
Excursion.
Have you ever been in an excursion?
Yes, in mine.
Yes, but the excursions are extremely big. You're driving a giant truck.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Why don't you just take the motorhome? That's nice and big, and you're high. Lots of power.
That is very big, a motorhome. But the excursion is
a little shorter.
Ah,
okay.
And then it has these golden tires.
You get the point?
I saw a gorgeous car yesterday.
Oh, what kind of car do you have?
Oh, I have, I'm sorry, Ellen, I have a red sports car, Lexus sport car.
Oh.
Yes.
With a top up or down?
Top up.
Well, then why have a sport? Oh, sports car, not convertible.
Mm-hmm. But my excursion can open the roof too.
Roof.
Yes.
Sunroof. A moonroof. Mm-hmm.
No, can open all.
Oh, it's a convertible?
It's
a convertible excursion?
Yes.
What an imagination. Yes. How lovely.
Yes.
Now, Ingeborg, see, this is what you want to do. You want to be totally illogical, unreasonable, and have it exactly the way you want it. Because that's how creativity goes. Now, I had a dream this morning, and in my dream, I was driving somewhere and Faith called up on my cell phone, my former wife, and she says, Herb, I want you to buy me a brand new white wedding gown. And I thought, my, are you getting married again? She says, no. She says, I just want a white wedding gown because I think they're nice. And so, you know, naturally we had to get her a white wedding gown. But now, it's outrageous. It's unreasonable. It is something that is totally off the wall, you know. And how many homes do I want to have? Well, now, if you say home, and by home you mean where your heart is, where your mind is, where your thought is, where you are, then you want just one. However, now let's take that question a little further. I don't think we do it any differently anywhere. How many homes do I want to have? Now, Christiana, Esther, Christiana, something like that. No, no, listen to me. I'm trying to give you a hard time. You know what hard time is? You know how to say that, Ellen? Yeah, okay. You have one home, huh? Well, that's sick. That is sick. Because do you believe all time is now? Do you believe all space is here? Verstehen? Do you believe that all dimensions are right here and now? Do you believe that you're living on all those dimensions right here and now? Do you believe that on each dimension you have your home? Now, are you taking the same home you have here, or are you having a different home on each dimension? You see, think about it.
No, every dimension is now.
Is now. Therefore, what? Anybody?
I have only one home.
I have only one home. What is my joy with you guys? To irritate you. To challenge you. To make you give the false answer. And if you know the answer, if you... what is your first name?
Esther.
Why did you take so long to tell me your first name was Esther? Your first name is Esther, right?
Yes.
I think your first name is Kristana. I think your first name is George Peachy. I think your first name is Ellen. I think your first name is Sylvia. Are you trying to tell me that Sylvia and Ellen are not nice names?
But I am Esther.
Not but. I am Esther. And let these buts and these conjunctives be gone. I am Esther.
Okay.
But you don't look like Esther. You look like some little girl. First day? You look like some little girl. Is that how you want to look? Like some young person?
Sure, yes.
Ich bin. I am.
I am.
Okay, you see, it's not that you want to look like that, because yes, I said you look like a young girl. I am a young girl.
I am. Mm-hmm.
And Sylvia, how old are you? What is your vision of yourself? How do you visualize yourself? What kind of a person are you? Some old bag? Mm-hmm. Or some young nothing?
Young, dynamic, innocent,
pure. Oh, my gosh. Sure had trouble getting that out, didn't she? Mm-hmm. That should be right on the tip of your tongue. Yeah. Young, dynamic, innocent, perfect person. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Have it there all the time. All the time. Right on the tip of your tongue. Right, Ingeborg?
Yes.
What do you got on the tip of your tongue?
I'm God, God I am.
That's good, too. That's good, too. But always on the tip of your tongue. Have who you are. Have who... See, Esther here, she wasn't sure. She wasn't sure whether she should be a young girl or an old girl or whatever. She says, oh, I'm a young girl. But what does she visualize herself as being, a young girl? Or does she visualize herself as being a mature woman? You know? Now, how many homes do I want to have? Esther has been fooling us all the time she's been here. Esther remembers when she was a little baby. And then she was a little baby. As she thought about it, she wasn't. Esther thought she was in elementary school. And as she thought it, she was. Esther comes to us with her chest sticking out and she says, I am a prize winner. When I enter a contest, I win. And so then, mentally, she went back to the house in which she was a prize winner, in which she won all the things that were in the show window of the grocery store. And she could take all that home. And then, that wasn't the big deal. The big deal was the party that followed using the stuff. And she's right there. Mentally, she's right there. She's that age, she's that person. She has the people around her she was familiar with at that time. And you see, that was her home. Now, Ingeborg, where was your happiest home? And don't make a lot of discussion as to where, when, why, and how. My happiest home was when I graduated from high school, for instance. You know, my happiest moment was when I did something or other. You know, just whatever. And are you there when you say it?
Yes.
Are you there when you say it? Are you living it? Are you experiencing it? Are you living in your home then?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, Ellen, you can talk to me, Ellen, now. Ellen, when you graduated from high school, were you in a different home than you are now?
No.
Tell her.
And we do from the Hohen Schule, mit der Hohen Schule fertig war, was für dein Lammheim als jetzt.
Since you're not in a different home when you graduated from high school, as to what you are now, when you just come back from your graduation party now, next few minutes, do you have a different home for every age? Do you have a different home for every dimension that you're on?
No, I have only one home.
Only one home. Only one home. Now, how many homes do I want to have? See, yeah, one. See, this is not a conversation on your part, it's a conversation on my part. You just agree with me, or not. So, how many homes do you have? You have one home. Ingeborg, what are you going to do in that home? You going to take a nap? Or are you going to be awake?
Cuddling myself.
Huh?
Cuddling myself.
Cuddling yourself.
Loving myself.
That's great. Well, do that afterwards. But you have one home. Now, do you remember when you broke a leg? Do you remember when you were in bed with the flu? Do you remember when you were having problems in your life? No. No. Were you ever molested by somebody in your life? You might have been, but you don't remember it. But your mother and father tell you about it. Your sisters and brothers tell you about it. Your friends tell you about it. But you don't even remember it. If you never told somebody that you had been touched by somebody who shouldn't have touched you, you know, by a policeman or something like that, and then you say, oh, it's so terrible, you know. Well, if you never said anything about it, I'm not telling you to keep secrets, but if you never said anything about it, it would die. That thought would die. You would never remember any. You don't remember your broken leg unless someone talked about your broken leg. My sisters used to tell me how they pushed me around in the dowel buggy when I was a kid, had a broken leg. And I don't remember it, but they remember it. They remember it with such fun. They don't remember my broken leg. They had no idea what it felt like. I don't know how it felt either. All I know is that I enjoyed them pushing me around. I was the boss. My sisters were my chauffeurs. They were pushing me around. Sure, I went where they wanted to go, but that's okay. I had no special place that I wanted to go. But you see, we always remember the happy things in life. And people tell us about the negative things in life. I read an article about Audrey Hepburn, and she's a rather outstanding movie star and so forth. And as a young star, she won several outstanding awards, and two in 1 year, which is unusual. And she lived a exemplary life. You know what one of the things that they say about Audrey Hepburn? They say she never had an unkind word toward anybody in her life. Humphrey Bogart was once very cold to her. I think it's Humphrey Bogart, some movie star. And she was at a dinner, and he wouldn't look. He sat right next to her, but he wouldn't look at her the whole evening. And she felt, you know, that he should have done that, but that's okay. So her son said, Mom, weren't you upset when Humphrey Bogart wouldn't look at you all evening? And she says, no, he had his reason. He had his reason. And then when she was on her deathbed, he heard that this had upset, not upset her, but that she was aware of that, you know. So he wrote her a letter. And he says, Dear Audrey, I sat next to you and I was just as young and innocent as you were. And I was so thrilled with your presence. I didn't have a word in my mouth. I couldn't say a thing. every time I opened my mouth, blub, 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 blub. Because I was so awed by your wonderful presence and by the fact that you won 2 awards that year and you were so great, I couldn't say a thing. I have always been a deep, fervent admirer of you. You see? Now, we build cases for ourselves, and they're not always true. But, you see, Audrey probably would never have remembered that herself if people hadn't brought it up to her. Humphrey Bogart snuffed you, and Humphrey Bogart did this, and, you know, and he didn't. She understood, but she had it in her mind, but she wasn't worried that he was so naughty to her. She knew what?
That he had a reason,
that he had something on his mind, that he couldn't speak to her. She wasn't touched, but the people around, you know, they made a big fuss over it. And this is what we oftentimes do. We mess up our beautiful home. Now, I would say, Audrey Hepburn, not being able to say a negative thing about anybody, and they gave lots of illustrations of where she said beautiful things when people were unkind to her. Because, you know, when you're successful and famous and so forth, people like to cut you down when they can, because that is supposed to build them up, you know, nonsense. So, when people are lovely like that, it's merely an indication that they're untouched. They're living in untouchability. They're living one-pointed, unpossessed, non-judgmental. See, they're happy. They're happy people because they do not create the world as a negative place. They create their home, their body, their temple. They create their temple. Isn't that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they create their temple as a wonderful place to be. They create their body as a wonderful place to be. That's very important. That's very important for us too. We live in our home, and that's our temple, our body, our self. I wanted you to say that's our mind first, because that's what it is. And when you live in your mind, how do you take care of it? The other day we were saying, if God came to visit you, what would you do? Would you clean the house? You know? Well, if you are God, and you are, and you live in your temple, what kind of a temple do you have? Spick and span, pure, clean, beautiful. That's what kind of temple you have. You don't have to clean it up. You don't have to clean it up because it's already clean. And that's the beautiful thing. So, how many homes do I want to have? The one I have is just fine. The one I have is beautiful. The one I have is fantastic. The one I have is so glorious, I'm so happy in it, that nothing could make me more happy than to live in the home that I have. Have a lovely morning and do beautiful things today. And just remember that I'm with you all the way.